You ever wonder how the scarecrow could talk without any brains? The mystery's been solved. Facebook. People talk without any brains on Facebook. That's the truth. Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. We saw last week that this is a time of personal contact with the shepherd. The shepherd makes personal contact with the sheep. If you follow the life of the shepherd and the sheep, this of course would fit in toward the end of the day. But the Lord comes into personal contact with the sheep all the time. But what a wonderful way to end any day, to just come into personal contact with the shepherd. That's the best way to end any day. And when we end a day that way, we tend to get up in a better spirit and we can start a day the right way. So it's a picture of personal contact. It's a picture of relief and release. Most of all, it is a picture of the person and influence of the Holy Spirit. Again, in both the Old and New Testament, oil is very significant. Not only in worship, it was very significant in the lives of God's people. And all through the Bible, again, it pictures the person of the Holy Spirit. It pictures the work, the influence of the Holy Spirit. We that are saved have the Holy Spirit dwelling within. And that ought to be a mighty influence in our lives. How can an individual have the Holy Spirit of God? That's Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus Christ dwelling in us. How can that be and it not have an influence? If it does not have an influence, there's only one obvious conclusion. And that is that he doesn't dwell within, which means that an individual, of course, is not saved. But you look at the Old Testament in particular, and you see this oil. There was the anointing oil. And there was a prescription of such. It had to be made just right. Notice in the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verses 22 through 24. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices, pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, 250 shekels. Even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus 250 shekels, and of cassia 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, or the measurement of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment. So you see, there was a prescription, or recipe, if you will, for this oil. Had to be made a certain way. And we see that it was holy. This oil was holy. That means it's set apart from all other oil. It's different than all of other oil. Verse 25, thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Notice verse 32. Upon man's flesh it shall not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. That is, it's set apart. It's different than everything else. Verse 35, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together pure and holy. Pure and holy. Verse 36, and thou shalt beat some of it very small and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. Verse 37, as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. That is, set apart for the Lord. So there's this anointing oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. There's this anointing oil, and there is a God-given prescription for it, or a God-given direction and how that oil was to be made. And it was different from all other oil. It was set apart for the Lord, which of course is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Now this oil would be used for a lot of different things. It was used for the tabernacle furnishings. Now we know that the tabernacle furnishings all pointed to Jesus Christ, but this oil was used to consecrate, to set apart the tabernacle furnishings. Notice again in Exodus 30, verse 26, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver in his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that is, with this oil, that you're setting them apart, that they may be most holy, that is, set apart, pure. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. So this oil upon the tabernacle furnishings consecrated or set apart the tabernacle furnishings and made them fit for use. And when the Holy Spirit makes us fit for God's use. Again, David said, thou anointest my head with oil. So the oil was used in the tabernacle to set apart the furniture. In other words, this is, once that was anointed with oil, it is declared this is not ordinary furniture. And we are anointed with oil, with the Holy Spirit. And what we read here, thou anointest my head with oil, he is simply declaring that the sheep are not ordinary to him. It's not just an ordinary sheep to the shepherd, but it's something very special. It's something that's been set apart. It's something that is distinctive to the shepherd. And that's what you and I are, the saved. We're not just ordinary people. We're not just ordinary creation. We've been set apart. Something very special, not special in us, in and of ourselves, but it's that oil, it's the Holy Spirit, the influence of the Holy Spirit that makes us different. We're not the same. And why in the world would a child of God spend their life trying to fit in a world that the Lord has taken you out of and made you different? And we're to be different. And that difference is to be seen. And it's the Holy Spirit, the influence of the Holy Spirit, that causes that to be so. We see the oil was used in the induction of the priests. Notice in Exodus 30 again. Exodus 30 and verse 30. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, again with this oil, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So Aaron and his sons, they of course are the priest. It's the priestly order. They were to be consecrated or set apart. And that took place with the anointing oil. But then notice what it says, that they may. You do this that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So that oil, there's an enabling power. And that's what it is with the Holy Spirit as well. There's an enabling power in the Holy Spirit. People say, well, God's called me to do such and so, but I just can't. Well, yes, you can. Because if God has called you to do something, the influence of the Holy Spirit will enable you in that area, that they may minister. Notice in the book of Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, verse 12 through verse 15. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. It's the putting away of filth. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may. You do this that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. So we see two things here. We see three things. We see a washing took place. If we're going to be able to serve God, a washing needs to take place. A clothing took place. They put on the priest's garments. And an anointing took place. And all of this is necessary that they may minister unto me, that they may serve me. Verse 14, and thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood through all their generations. So we see the oil was used in the induction of the priest. It was also used in the induction of kings throughout the Old Testament. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So this anointing oil set apart priests, set apart kings. It was a sign that they were enabled to fulfill the office. And David says, thou anointest my head with oil. So there's an enabling power there. It's the communicated power of the Lord. And when the shepherd anointed the head of the sheep with oil, it was the power of the shepherd was being communicated. The influence of the shepherd was now was upon that sheep. And so it is with you and I. The Holy Spirit is the enabling power. The Holy Spirit is the influence in our life. Also in the tabernacle, not only was the furniture anointed with this oil, not only the priests and the priestly family, but it was the pure olive oil that kept the light burning continually. Notice in Exodus chapter 27, Exodus chapter 27, verses 20 and 21, And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil or outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his son shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. So the oil was used to cause the lamp to burn continually. Again, a type of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in revelation, unveiling, and illumination. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us light. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals. It's the Holy Spirit that illuminates. And this aspect of the Holy Spirit's influence is what is spoken of in 1 John. And notice, if we go over there, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. You see, because the child of God has the Holy Spirit, there are things that are unveiled to the child of God. There are things that they see that other people do not see. The Lord has shown us things. The Lord, the influence of the Holy Spirit, teaches us how to live. And we look at the world, and we see a world that has gone absolutely crazy because they do not have this Holy Spirit that teaches them how to live, and they do not see. They're blind. But again, that light, the oil would cause the light to burn continually. It's the Holy Spirit in us that does the same thing. 1 John 2 and verse 20. Says, ye have an unction. You have an unction from, and the word unction there is an anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. We have an anointing from the Holy One. The result of that is, and you know all things. It doesn't mean we know everything, but there has been clarity because of this anointing of the Holy Spirit. We see things that others do not see. We know things that others do not know. Now notice, if you go down to 1 John 2:27, it says, but the anointing which ye have received. Now the anointing, the word anointing there, explains the unction of verse 20. It's the same word, the Greek word. So, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. So the influence of the abiding Holy Spirit results in a knowledge. It results in a knowledge of the truth. Now knowledge, several things are implied with knowledge. Understanding is implied. Understanding. Recognition is implied. There is a comprehension. There is a consciousness. There is an assurance. There is an experience of the thing known. So this anointing gives us a knowledge. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know, and you know, and you know. The reason we know is not based upon our IQ. The reason we know is because we have this anointing, we have this unction from the Holy Spirit. Human intelligence has nothing to do with knowledge of truth. That is the result of the Holy Spirit. There are people who perhaps have very low IQs, but they know some truth as a result of the Holy Spirit, and vice versa. There are people with very high IQs that know nothing of spiritual truth. And that's who we have, of course, in high places today for the most part. From 1 John 2 and verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last times. It's the influence of the Holy Spirit that causes us to have some understanding of the times in which we live. People today walk around in ignorance concerning the times in which we live. And people say, I don't understand why this is happening. Why are there so many shootings? Why? And they come up with crazy, just outlandish, bizarre solutions. But that's the only thing they can come up with, because they have no idea of the times. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives us this knowledge that of the times and which we see. And in 1 John 2:21, it says, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and no lie is of the truth. So this unction that we have is a knowledge of that gives us a knowledge of the times. It also gives us a knowledge of truth. And in 1 John 2, verses 22 and 23, we see it is a knowledge of Christ. And it's a knowledge of discernment. It's a knowledge that enables us to discern between Christ and Antichrist. There are people today who have no discernment between Christ and Antichrist, between truth and error. They don't see the difference. But we do. And again, not because we're better, not because we're smarter, but because of the influence of the Holy Spirit within us. So there's no need to get proud in our knowledge. We ought to be thankful that the Spirit of God has given us that knowledge, that He's given us that knowledge. I mean, you can talk to an unsaved sinner, well, many that are saved perhaps, and they'll say, around election time, well, we need to elect so-and-so and straighten this whole mess up. Well, it may make things a little better, but it's not going to straighten it up. Because the Bible teaches the times we live, it's going to get worse and worse and worse until the coming of Christ. And you explain that to someone who has no spiritual knowledge, and they've never heard of such a thing. But it's very plain throughout scriptures. You follow scriptures from beginning to end. And it's pretty easy, if you have the Holy Spirit, to see the times in which we live. And you add the knowledge of human nature. And see, that's psychiatrists today, for the most part, people who supposedly come up with the answers, they have no knowledge of the nature of man. How can you possibly deal with the solutions to the problem when you do not even know what you're dealing with? They have no understanding of the nature of man. People who talk about raising children who have no understanding of the nature of that child. You're not going to come up with anything good. You have to know what you're dealing with. And the Holy Spirit gives us that knowledge. Thou anointest my head with oil. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you for what we read here in this 23rd Psalm. We thank you, Lord, that we have personal experience of it. And we just thank you for that. We do pray that as we worship you today, Lord, that you'd help us. Help us to give you all the honor and all the glory in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.